At Vistar, we believe in better. Our members now have access to more than 20,000 fee-free ATMs across North America. If you believe that convenience is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
And now, from the Daytona Beach News Journal.
And he is a lap away from the checkered flag in the Daytona 500.
The voice of NASCAR.
Austin Dillon wins the 60th running of the Great American Race.
Daytona Motor Miles with Ken Willis and Godwin Kelly.
Well, hi diddly do. Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, Daytona Motor Mouse. Godwin is Facebook Living as we speak, so I will quit picking my teeth, sucking my teeth. Like Grady from Sanford and Son. Remember that? Grady, quit sucking your teeth. Anyway, hey, guess what? We're the off season is well in our rearview mirror now. Remember that for a few weeks there, we had nothing to, we were just faking it. Now we actually have stuff. The Daytona 500 and Speed Weeks is come and gone. We'll review all that happened during those 9 or 10 days in Daytona Beach. And we'll move along to what's coming up next. And we're going to taper our spacers. And we will wonder if that's going to add to the big one. The what? The big one.
What?
We'll talk about who's pissed at who and why. And toward the end, we'll play the birthday game. The birthday game lives, Goblin. The birthday game lives. And we'll do all that right after this. And we're back with What Do You Know? The opening segment. We got segment stage racing here at the pod. Ken Willis, Goblin, Kelly, What Do You Know? Goblin, here's what I know.
What do you know?
You look like you're still wrung out. Speed Weeks can just flat take it out of you, even if you're not ever climbing behind the wheel of a race car. Right?
Yeah.
Speak.
Well, so what happens is you go through, you know, it just builds. It, like every day you're there a little longer. And then Sunday, the day of the big race.
Yeah.
We were there at 7. Well, most of us were there at 7. I was a little late. But approximately 7, let's say.
Well, now you got me thinking. 6:30, I was there 6:30. 15 and a half hours Sunday.
And then I left because I wanted to get, I had to get my NASCAR This Week page stuff done.
Yeah.
So after I wrote all about the Daytona 500, I just sat there and grinded through the NASCAR This Week stuff. So I left when I got in my car.
Yeah.
From the Speedway,
yes,
on the day of the 500, it was 11:30 p.m.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like a hero.
And
maybe
then
not a superhero.
I turn around.
Yeah.
And go to the champions breakfast early the next morning.
Yeah.
Because they want to get those people out of there.
Uh-huh.
And I came here, wrote the story, and then proceeded to go home and just completely pass out. I mean, it was like the guy at Mayberry that would lock himself in the cell.
Otis. Was it longer than that story you just told?
So, anyway.
But the good news is we didn't have to do any heavy lifting.
Well,
the weather was nice. We didn't have a rain delay, and there was no heavy lifting. And nobody was, you know, throwing punches at us. We don't get hazard pay. It's just long. It's just a long day.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of them around here.
Can be.
Yeah. So, anyway, we got a Denny Hamlin as the winner. And he's one of those guys that you talk about him every now and then at plate races, Daytona, Talladega, but maybe not enough because, I mean, he's always there. I mean, unless he gets caught up in the big one. I mean, he's always there, be it the 500, the Clash, the Twins. He's one of those guys that has a knack for it, and we'll talk a little bit later on about how there is going to be no more plate racing and whether or not his knack is going to carry over when they taper his spacer. And don't try that at home. But, I don't know what this does for his career. I mean, he's never won a championship as of yet, but he's now tied with Dale Jarrett in career wins, 20-something wins. Dale Jarrett's a Hall of Famer. He won a couple Daytona 500s and a championship. as it stands right now, I will continue saying that eventually everybody's going to be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame if they if they insist on putting in 5 a year.
Oh, yeah.
But as it stands right now, Denny Hamlin, 20-some-odd wins, 2 Daytona 500s. Does that make up for not having a championship? Is he a Hall? If he retired today, he would eventually get in the Hall of Fame, but would he be one of them guys who would get in his first or second year?
Well, he's won 2 Daytona 500s.
Yeah, I heard that somewhere.
And I think he's in the 30s as far as wins. I think you may be just a tad off.
You keep talking. I'll look that up.
Yeah, I think he's in his 30s.
He is? All right.
In wins.
You keep talking. I'm looking.
32 wins.
Well, what was I overlooking?
Well, I've got the sheet right here.
Give me that sheet.
Race Fast Facts. Denny Hamlin, 38. Denny Hamlin won the 61st annual Daytona 500. Yeah. His 32nd victory in the Cup Series.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. That's one more than he won all last year.
I see it right there. 32 wins, 30 poles.
Yeah.
This is kind of live action you don't get every day on podcasts. That must have been – that's thrilling radio. Nothing better. Dead air is, might be –
Yeah, we actually kept talking. We actually kept talking during the – yeah.
So, yeah, 32, I guess that would put him over the hump where he would be either first ballot or second ballot Hall of Famer. You know, you got some guys with 20, 22 wins, and it took them a little longer to get in if they didn't win a championship. So now, 32, that's a lot. That's
you're
a
talking
lot
about, I think more you're talking about like a Clint Boyer type. He's got 10 wins or something like
that. Yeah, he's got a lot more to do.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, he's got 10 wins, no championships, no big wins. And it's not like golf. I mean, you know, they act like the Daytona 500 is like having a major golf championship under your belt. And I guess it is in that world, but after the 500, I mean, what would you consider a major? I guess maybe the Southern 500 is still maybe the equivalent of say the PGA Championship.
Well, right now in my mind, and everybody has a different mind obviously, but it's the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
I'd put the Southern 500 second.
Okay.
Because it's been around the longest. It was the first super speedway race.
Right.
I put Charlotte third because it's the longest
the
race.
Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah, because that's unique. It's 100
it's
miles
got a history
longer.
Too. Yep.
And then the new kid on the block is Indy.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be the Winston 500 at Talladega because it was the fastest race and all that.
Yeah.
But that's lost some of its value. And
yeah,
luster.
You know, I think you're right. I would probably say the same thing. The only argument I think you might get from somebody would be. Should the Bristol night race be one of the big four?
Well, I would have probably put them in there, but they ever since they changed the track, they actually changed the characteristic. I don't think they should have ever done that
because
that made the racing a lot different and not for the good.
It'll be our fifth major. Golf has people talk about the fifth major.
And that
players
would be the Players'
Bristol
Championship.
Could be our fifth
Yeah, it's the Players' Championship of the Cup Series.
Yeah. I didn't tell you I was going to hit you with this question ahead of time.
Well,
so.
First of all, say goodbye so that we keep speed building suspense.
Spay and neuter your pets. Bye.
All right. See you guys. DaytonaMotorMouse.com.
Speed Weeks is gone. Well, anything stand out to you? What do you think about if you go, boy, in the future, this is what I'm going to, when I think about Speed Weeks 2019, I'm going to say, hey, that's the year that.
We had the two big wrecks at the end of the race.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it.
But what about Speed Weeks total?
Redemption.
Okay.
Because you had a guy win the Truck Series for the first time. You had a guy win the Busch Series race for the first time.
Michael Annette.
And then you had a guy that didn't win last year. People were talking about whether he was going to keep his job this year.
Well, I got news for you. When it comes to Denny Hamlin, they might still be talking about that in August and September. Because, as you know, winning a Daytona 500 does not mean you're going to win again the rest of the year.
Yeah, but he's in the playoffs. So,
well, so was Austin Dillon last year. So was Ryan Newman. Or not. Yeah, he was a year. No, they didn't have that format then. What the hell am I saying? But, I mean, but again.
There and again.
If you look, I think it was 9 out of the previous 10 Daytona 500 winners did not win another race that year. That's amazing. So now you look at that and you think, all right, well, Denny Hamlin, he's back. You know, didn't win last year, but now he did win. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll win 6 or 8 times this year. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't fall over. But if he doesn't win again this year, we'll say like we say about others. See, the Daytona 500 means nothing about your team. It does not say a thing about how good your team is and what it's capable of doing that year.
Well, you know, we got a wild card here. We have the X factor. I haven't looked at the sheet, but the new rules package.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. So, you know, he may be the guy that we don't know but has all the secret ingredients.
We have no idea.
Is it 13 for Kentucky Fried Chicken?
31 secret spices and ingredients, I think.
Is it 31?
Oh, hell, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's usually, when you bring in a new rules package, there's usually one or two teams that get it.
Yep.
Like right off the bat, and they win, and everybody catches
up. And we have no idea who that could be yet.
We have no idea. That could be Matty D.
Yep, Matty. I'm trying to think. I would think back when I'm thinking of Speed Weeks, the 2019 Speed Weeks. Man, I don't know. The craziness of the ending of some of them races. But I also think about how the collective sigh of relief, because after the Twins on Thursday and after the Busch race on Saturday, everybody was scared to death of a single-file Daytona 500. And we didn't get it, thankfully. Well, so I think the sigh of relief that everybody had, I think, is one of the things I'll probably think about if I think about it.
I don't want to say I told you so.
You told us so.
But that morning on our Speed Week radio,
yeah,
I said because of the weather situation, with it being warmer and sunny and the track hot, I thought that would play a big factor in the race.
Yeah.
And there again.
Bill would
that
say.
That second line formed up. And apparently, I wasn't there, I didn't listen to the broadcast, but Jim France was like...
At the driver's meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, don't be afraid to use that second line, guys. Yeah,
he got up and gave a brief talk at the driver's meeting, and at the end of it, he goes, and lastly, just before I sit down, he goes, hope a lot of you guys won't be afraid to go down on the bottom with Denny and Chase and put on a good show for us. And, I don't know if that's what did it or just the fact that, they felt comfortable down there and that bottom line could move. Early on, you saw the bottom line. They kind of stuck 2x2 for a long time. Then there was a point in time where the bottom line, the top line was single file, of course, and the bottom line was about 5 or 6 cars back from the leader. And it was about 5 or 6 cars on the bottom line, and you watched them, and they caught up. And that was early in the race. I went, that's fine. Now we're good. Because it looked like they were possibly sinking into a big, long single file. But when that happened, I went, okay, it's going to be a good afternoon.
How about,
and it was a good, orderly afternoon until it wasn't.
How about
190 laps out of 200?
How about the uneasy alliance between Hendrick and Gibbs?
Yeah.
That was a weird thing, but it worked.
Yeah. We're going to talk about teammates and all that and who... who's pissed, who's rightfully pissed, who shouldn't be, and the fallout from all that. He didn't help me. He didn't help me. He's supposed to help me, but he didn't help me.
Help me.
All right, we'll do all that when we come back. Back on Daytona Motor Mouse, Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, and you'll get that big-time auto racing. What you'll get sometimes is hurt feelings, especially at a plate race where drafting and teamwork is key sometimes to help you pass the other cars. Kyle Busch was... putting a lid on it as best he could after the race, because everybody in that organization was thrilled that the 11 car won. The memory of J.D. Gibbs fresh on everybody's mind. That was his team. His fingerprints were all over it. He started it up. He picked Denny Hamlin and hired him. It was all his doing, and everybody was just thrilled to death for them and what happened. Kyle put on a good face about it, but a couple of times in his post-race interview, he did kind of allude to the fact that Denny was wanting to just race man-to-man, even though they were teammates, when it benefited him. And then when it benefited him for them to work together and help me, Denny, that's when Denny became in favor of the of working as a team.
Right.
And Kyle pointed that out. So Kyle's pissed at Denny and pissed at the situation, though he won't come right out and say it. You could just see it. It was written all over him. He all but held a sign up and said, don't believe a word I'm saying.
Right.
And Logano was pissed at Michael McDowell. Michael McDowell doesn't have a lot of chances to win races, and Michael McDowell, I mean McDowell, pointed that out afterwards. I don't get a lot of chances to win. I'm not. My team does not pay me to help Joey Logano win races.
Right.
They pay me to try to win a race if I get a chance. And the other thing McDowell pointed out later on, which was just brilliant to me, is he brought out that, listen, the big Ford team, Stuart Haas, their four teams, and the four Gibbs teams, they don't let a little Ford team like McDowell's team, they don't let them in on any kind of secret plans, of the, what their strategy is for when they're going to pit, how they're going to handle this, how they're going to handle that. They don't let them in because they're a little, you know, mid-pack team. They don't include them. You know, the high rollers don't reach down to them and include them in that. So why should they have any allegiance to the top-tier Ford teams if it doesn't flow both ways?
Right.
And I thought that was a great thing to point out, and it made a lot of sense to me. And so I am I understand why Logan would be frustrated, but I think Logan also has to – Logan. We call him Logan so much because we had a typo once, Joey Logano. We had it in as Joey Logan, and so we jokingly referred to him as Joey Logan, and now I'm actually calling him Logan. I knew it was going to happen. Anyway, Logan is probably right to be upset with McDowell, but he's also going to be smart enough to realize where McDowell's coming from in this. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, what do you make of all that? And do you just find it a nice little sidebar story?
I think when you get down to the last few laps of the Daytona 500, it is the Daytona 500, and you do whatever you got to do in your mind to win. Because if you don't do what you think you have to do to win, you won't be able to live with yourself.
Well, what I think you do is you have to be, and God knows you have to think quick on your feet in these situations. You know, you don't have a lot of time. You can't pull over in a rest area, pull out your AAA Atlas, and figure out how to plot your path forward. You're kind of thinking on the fly, except maybe when you got a red flag situation, you got time to think this through.
Or but, a nap.
Yeah. So you got to figure out a way, if you can, to make it look like you're being a good teammate, while at the same time plotting your course to victory. You're going to make it look like you're a good teammate. And then at the end, you're going to find a way to, you know, hang them out to dry if you can without messing it up for both of you so that an opponent manufacturer wins the race. That's key. And in the end, it was three Gibbs cars, 1, 2, 3. And Eric Jones, I don't know where he came from. I think he pulled a Rosie Ruiz. I don't think he ran those last 20 laps. He was in the mix of all that crap going on, you know, he's in that spin cycle, and you just figure you haven't heard anything about him. Now you just assume he's behind a wall with the rest of them. Next thing you know, he's finishing third. I think he parked it behind the pit wall there in turn one of the road course where the pace car stays.
Right.
You know, I think he kind of tucked in behind the pace car, and then with about two to go, he jumped out on that last restart and got out there and snuck into the picture at the end. Don't tell anybody because I don't want to start a whole mess. Get him in trouble.
Yeah, that'd be a shame for that youngster.
Tapered spacers going forward. No more restrictor plates. They will do basically the same thing restrictor plates did. So I don't think we're rid of the big one. Are you at Daytona and Talladega? If the tapered spacers keep the cars bunched together even half or a little more than half of what they do now, I mean, we're still going to have the big one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only thing that the tapered spacer does, according to what I've heard in layman's terms,
yes,
because, you know, as you know, we don't have engineering degrees. So,
well,
because of the
could have
because of the configuration of the tapered,
smarter.
Tapered spacer,
yeah,
allows for more evenly airflow. So it all translates to
better throttle response, but less horsepower.
Yeah, better throttle response is the key there. So
it's like getting in a little light four-speed or a little light four-cylinder car, and you get on that gas and you just go.
Yeah.
But for a few seconds. Then it kind of levels off and you're not going anymore.
I see a place, let's say Darlington, that's just weird.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's, it has different radiuses on each turn. It has different banking. It's bumpy. It chews up tires. I think you're going to see pretty much the same kind of race at Darlington, you know, because the guys that have the cars that handle and can get on that throttle a little quicker than the next guy, they're going to, it's going to be the same race.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about what we're going to do going forward, but we're going to do that in the next segment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm jumping ahead again.
The guy who's dragging, you're jumping out ahead of the game here. We've got to reel you back in.
Well, what happens is I'm getting out of the draft, and then I go to the back.
Yeah.
Go ahead, straight back.
You need a spotter in here.
Yeah.
Godwin. Knock off the talk about the spaceship. We're going to do that later. Clear high. Clear high. Tuck back in the line. Just follow the leader. All right. Doing good. Doing good.
All right.
We'll be right back. And we're back. We're going to wrap up Daytona Motor Mouse with Green White Checkers, Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly. We're going to talk about the tapered spacers going forward, starting this week in Atlanta. Actually, Hampton, Georgia. And then we're going to play the birthday game, and then we're going to get Goblin back to the Iron Lung, and we'll be done with this until next week. Atlanta this weekend marks the beginning of the tapered spacer era, which is designed to bring pack racing to the masses. From what I'm told, and I think you've heard it too, the real test of this new configuration will be the following week at Las Vegas, which is a shiny, new, smooth track compared to Atlanta,
right,
which is rough as a cob. Its asphalt is will chew through tires, and it just does not make for a comfortable afternoon. Therefore, you will see a difference between this and last year's Atlanta, where Kevin Harvick, second half of the race, ran off with it and won by a country mile, so to speak. And had no sweat coming in.
No. He
just ran off with it. So it will be, it's promised to be different, but we're told we won't see the full effects like we saw in the All-Star race at Charlotte last year. Won't see the full effects until Las Vegas in week three.
Right.
But we will see something different. What do you want to see? What, as a fan, put on your fan hat and tell me what, if you're a fan sitting at home on the couch, what do you hope to see?
All I hope to see is that one car doesn't jump out and get a six-second lead on everybody else. I mean, that's really all I want. They don't have to be racing side-by-side, but they have to be, you know, in the same area code. How about that?
Yeah. What about a team and a car that if you had a objective, if there was a way to do an objective rating system, if we had the old Dunkel Index for NASCAR teams, what about a team that's, let's say, a Bubba Wallace, Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman for that matter, Hemric, I'm drawing a blank on who the other Roush guys are now.
Both Dillon boys.
Yeah. Those guys who would be ranked between 15th and 20th, Ricky Stenhouse.
Right.
Guys would be ranked between, say, 15th and 22nd or 23rd if Dunkel Index applied to NASCAR. What do you think about, what will you think if all of a sudden on a weekly or near weekly basis, those teams, they have equalized the field so much with the tapered spacers that the good teams no longer have the advantage that they've had by any stretch of the imagination. Now all of a sudden you got these teams that, you know, probably aren't as good. We know they're not as well funded. And now suddenly they are, one of them's running top five every week, sometimes two of them. And every couple of weeks, one or two of them has a real chance to be in the mix to win the race. What if the tapered spacers does that? Will you like it better or worse than, I mean, will you like it better because it gives those guys a chance or worse because it has taken away whatever advantages the other teams have earned over the years?
I like it better. And I really think what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is I don't think it will happen at Atlanta because of the track surface.
Yeah.
But I think you go to Las Vegas, and we're going to see a little of that when they get to California.
Yeah.
Is it still California, or are they changing?
Fontana, you mean?
Fontana.
Auto Club Speedway.
Auto Club Speedway. When you get to Auto Club, I think we'll see it a little bit there. Maybe not so much at Phoenix because Phoenix is a mile long. And so, I think there's more handling there than
handling.
Yeah, but if you can, you go to a place like Las Vegas, it's smooth. You can keep it open, keep that throttle open, stay
24/7 like strip.
Keep up those. Keep up with those.
Cinch up them belts. Pull them tight.
Yeah. So,
What if it turns into every week? It almost turns into like a lottery drawing. Like if it takes on the appearance of, it says you have to be in the right place at the right time to win. Again, we have no idea that's what's going to happen. Yeah, but what if something like that happened?
We don't know what's going to happen.
You would kind of take away, wouldn't you, if luck becomes too much of a factor, won't that hurt the product or no?
Well, as I was told by a NASCAR executive, the cream is always, no matter what you do, the cream will rise to the top. So you're still going to have those guys that we know and love, you know, up front on a regular basis. But it'd be nice to get, wouldn't it be nice to get like a wild card guy up in there? Yeah,
and let's face it, you just want more traffic, more drama, and this not necessarily, naturally there's going to be some wrecks, and there are people who love to see wrecks here and there. But I think the fans really like to see a pack of cars looking like they're going to wreck at any minute,
right?
Not wrecking,
right?
A couple of saves here and there, a couple of bobbles. I think the slightly more knowledgeable fans like that, like watching guys avoid wrecks, but right on that edge. They like seeing people on the ragged edge. I think they enjoy that as fans. I do, you know.
Like,
but you know, I just don't. I'm not. You know, I'm burnt out on the 20 car pileup. That's
when you look at the Daytona 500 and you look at lap 40 and compare it to lap 190.
It's
a different race. I mean, they're racing those cars a lot differently.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Let's play the birthday game, shall we? Get you back to the iron lung.
Wow.
You ready?
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't have it last week.
Well, I know. I'm woefully unprepared. We were at media day inside the Speedway, and I just was not prepared, and I lost track of days, I guess. But we're back at it this week, and we only have two.
I got a 50% chance
of
getting
two, one. But it's two good ones. It's guys who will make you feel young.
All right, cool.
And they're both today, by the way, right here on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
They are both today. Birthday number one. Come on down. This man is most synonymous with Detroit, Michigan. But he's been around the world, taking his race cars to Australia, Asia, the Middle East even. He's won on every continent this side of Antarctica. Please say hello to Roger Penske. Happy birthday, Roger. Godwin.
Roger Penske?
Roger Penske. Captain? 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 Captain?
It's one of two things.
Captain.
It's one of two. Well, I'm going to go 82.
Ding, 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 ding. Good one, Mr. Kelly. Our next birthday guest is from a racing family. Indianapolis, Daytona, Milwaukee, Laguna Seca, Pikes Peak. Bobby Unser, happy birthday.
Bobby Unser?
Yes.
Bobby Unser.
Bobby, not Jerry, not Al, not Little Al.
Bobby.
Not that other Unser whose name I can't remember. Jerry Unser, Al, Little Al, Bobby. I'm forgetting an obvious one. Dang it. All right, anyway, Bobby.
Bobby.
Let's see. Who's Big Al, Al Sr.'s brother.
Big Al's brother.
He might have been Cousin Jerry was not a brother. I don't think they would have called him Cousin Jerry if he was a brother. Anyway.
Remember when they took the snowmobiles in the National Forest?
That's right. They did that, too. They will drive anything.
Yeah, they got into trouble for that.
Yeah, they were riding places they shouldn't. They are Johnny Unser. That's what I'm thinking of.
Johnny.
And you know who else I'm thinking of? Irritates me to forget this one. Robbie Unser.
Robbie.
Yeah, we had Al Jr., Robbie. There's Adele Unser, but he was a baseball player. Pretty good pinch hitter, fourth outfielder. Not that he was a fourth outfielder. That would be against the rules, but he was like a backup outfielder. I want to say with the Phillies, Washington Senators, I think, for a while. But it's not Del Unser's birthday. It is our Bobby Unser's birthday. And you're going to take a guess at how old he is
today. Oh, I thought I already did.
No.
Oh.
No, you didn't.
Thought the game was over.
No. Nope. How old is Bobby Unser today?
76.
Woo! Missed that one by a mile. 85.
Wow.
Ain't that something? Dell Unser, by the way, is 74.
That's who I was thinking of, yeah. Dell.
Not to be confused with Dell Shannon. My runaway, run, 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 run. We're going to run away now. Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly, this has been the Daytona Motor
Mouse. I promise.
Anything to say before we leave?
Yeah, I promise that when we do this next week.
You're going to be awake? You're going to be conscious?
I'll be completely conscious and be at full strength.
Boy, I can't wait.
Rob Conley, if you're listening, we love you.
Hey to fish.
Yeah.
See y'all later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.